Louder Than Life is back with Ozzy Osbourne and a rare appearance from Prophets of Rage. Louder Than Life, Saturday, September 30th and Sunday, October 1st. Go to louderthanlifefestival.com for everything.
All right, guys, we're here for another episode of Redefining the Counterculture. We're here live at the 2017 Forecastle Music Festival right here in Louisville, Kentucky. We've got a special guest for you today. We're joined by the one and only Kay Flay. How's it going?
It's good. I'm happy we're in the shade right now. It's warm outside.
Me too. It's so hot out here. But it's so great to have you on today's show. And how do you feel today being here?
I feel good. Just excited. This is our first time playing the festival. We had a few friends who played it in the past and had a really great time. So, cool. Yeah, it's good. And I feel like I haven't been to the South in a second, like in a couple months. So, it's good to be back.
Very cool. So, tell me, do you still get, like, pre-show jitters before you have to perform?
Sometimes. I think usually that feeling has more to do with not even the show, but if the day has been stressful in some way. Like, I feel like I get really affected by, like, if we've been late to something and we're rushing, like, that can just, like, put me on edge. But for the most part, for, you know, the performance element, I'm really just honestly, like, excited to play and like, have fun up there. I feel like the stage is sort of this space for me to get out a lot of energy and, like, stress and anxiety and, like, let that go so I can just be relaxed.
I feel you. What do you do to unwind and to prepare yourself for, like, a performance?
Well, it depends. I mean, I think, you know, I'm trying to develop kind of a routine that I can, like, consistently do. But right now, it's pretty much just vocal warm-ups, just a bunch of stretching, and listening to some songs, like warm-up songs. Not my own, other people's songs. Don't worry, I'm not a complete narcissist. Just sort of, like, getting in the zone of, like, listening to music, wanting to play music, feeling, like, limber and loose.
So tell me, speaking of, I guess, music, who would you say are your biggest influences in terms of, like, the music that you make?
It's changed, for sure, over the years. I mean, when I started making music, I was very, not exclusively, but almost exclusively listening to hip-hop and rap, and that was really kind of my starting point to making music. So in that world, it was a lot of stuff that was, I think, you know, in my mind, had a political or a conscious element to it. I was listening to, like, Saul Williams, Mos Def, Tribe, that kind of world, and a lot of West Coast, a lot of the Living Legends guys. And then historically, I'm also a huge Outkast fan, and so I think as is interesting because, you know, as I feel like they evolved into more like pop, like, rock, weird, whatever. That was also, you know, elements of that I feel like I was wanting to incorporate as well. So the last couple of years have been pretty much, like, rock music. And just digging into that. And, yeah, for this last record, like, the Yeah 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 is probably the biggest influence of all.
So did you happen to catch Run the Jewel set last night with Killer Mike?
I didn't. I wasn't here. Otherwise, I completely would have, but I've seen them before, and it's an amazing show, and it's just like, you know, it's fun to watch, because I, you know, knew them and was a fan of them individually before the group, and it's cool to see, I don't know, it's just cool to see that band evolve, and their shows, it's just very, I don't know, I'm sure it was amazing last night, but in the past, it's very, very high energy, like, super kind of wild.
Speaking of which, for a person that's never seen one of your shows or that's never been to one of your shows, but that has heard your music, what can they expect from your live performance?
The live performance it's heavier and, like, more intense. That's sort of the feedback I get. I'm not sure it's not intentional, but I think that's my instinct on stage is to really make it feel kind of distinct from the recordings in a way, so where, like, there'll be moments of restraint on record. I feel like I embrace those moments and try to be unrestrained to some extent. So it's definitely, like, you know, it's kind of like a weird rock show, okay. I guess.
So tell me, I know that you you have a guest, you guest on RAC's newest album that was released yesterday. What was it like working with those guys on that?
Oh, well, you know, I had kind of been introduced to Andre, RAC, through somebody else, or I can't really remember, but we got introduced, and I was just in my room working on a bunch of ideas, and this is in Los Angeles, and had this idea for a song about, like, being depressed in the summer, and naturally, as one is, and just sent him this idea, like, with no idea where it'd end up. I'm kind of constantly working on different ideas and always collaborating with a lot of people. I just find that very, like, inspiring and energizing. And yeah, I sent it to him. He was digging it and started working on production stuff and sent it back. I like changed the pre-chorus. I had a better idea, sent it back. And so we did it all remotely, even though I know him. But yeah, we were just in different places. He was in Portland. I was in LA at that time.
Wow. Okay. Very cool. Very cool. I want to talk to you a little bit about just your music. Your music is, you know, it's been described as feel-good music, and even though, like, you do have some songs that are heavy in terms of their meaning and, I guess, significance, a lot of your songs, like, have been perceived as, like, you know, party songs, feel-good music. Tell me, you yourself, as the person, the creator of your own music, what is the biggest takeaway that you want people to get from your music when they listen to it?
I think the biggest takeaway is that I want people to find, I hope the music gives them another avenue to connect to themselves. I think that, like, you know, music serves that dual purpose, right, of connecting you to others and to an experience. But it also has, I think, its main function is to help people realize ways in which their mind works, and to, like, kind of understand themselves a little bit better. I mean, I know that's why I certainly am drawn to a lot of music as a way of, yeah, really sort of connecting with myself as a person. So I think that's kind of my main goal. And, yeah, I mean, there's probably other stuff too, but I think that's kind of the main thing.
If you weren't making music, what could you see yourself doing? Because I know that you've got a background in psychology and sociology. Do you think you would have been doing something with, like, mental health, or do you think you would have done something else, social work?
I'm not sure. Right now, I'd like to be a radio producer for, like, public radio. I'm obsessed with radio programming and podcasts. So,
really?
Yeah. So that's, like, so, I mean, I feel like it's actually maybe like 50% realistic that I will do that in the next like 10 years, okay. But yeah.
All right. That's awesome. Very cool. Very cool. What would you say is, I guess, like the biggest misconception about, you know, being an artist and the things that you do? Because I know, like, people have this idea that, you know, it's just, you know, I guess all fun and games and, you know, it's just one big party, but obviously there's more to it than that. You yourself, what would you say is, I guess, like, the biggest misconception?
I think maybe the biggest misconception is that being perpetually transient is always exciting. And it is true, there are elements of that experience that are really inspiring and exciting and inspirational. You know, being able to see different parts of the world in different cities, it is, I mean, I feel very lucky to be able to do that. But on the flip side, there is this unsettledness that that follows, I think, that kind of life. And I think that feeling of being untethered or uprooted or whatever can have, like, kind of, like, damaging psychological consequences. You know, to feel like sort of home is this elusive place. I think that might be the biggest misconception. You don't really, like, you don't even when you start touring just a little bit, you don't understand kind of what it's like to just be on the road all the time. But, you know, and that's why you, like, figure out, like, a crew that you love, and you build a home away from home. But that takes time, too.
Absolutely. I want to talk to you about, like, your writing, like, your songwriting, and when you're creating music, is it something that you do all at once? Do you set aside, like, some time and you say, hey, I'm going to work on this piece for this album on this day, this month, or is it just kind of like here and there? So I know you're pretty busy.
Yeah, it's been, at least for this last record, sort of a piecemeal enterprise, which I actually found to be good in the sense of keeping both my motivation consistent and also diversifying the subject matter a little bit. Like, it wasn't like I locked myself away after a set of experiences, you know, for 6 months. And some people like doing it this way, where I was really focused in on like a single feeling or a limited set of experiences. For me, it was like, well, 1 week I was like, you know, going through a breakup, and then 3 months later, I was, you know what I mean? So it allowed me to kind of explore and investigate different stuff. And I, you know, I really did it that way by virtue of the touring schedule. And that's sort of how I've actually just begun working on the next kind of batch of music. And that's how it seems to be operating again this time. So it's, yeah, and like certain songs take me like a year to finish, and certain songs take me like 30 minutes. So it's nice to give, I think, give yourself some time, because certain ideas do need to marinate, not just in your mind, but in your life. And others are just so like must be said, urgent, that, you know, it's nice to be able to record whenever I feel like I need to.
I just have two more questions, because I know we're almost out of time. But I guess the music that you're working on now, do you have kind of an idea when you'll be finished?
No idea. I mean, the album came out 3 months ago, so it's still very fresh, even though for me it feels like old news because it's 8 months old for me or whatever it is. I want to give myself really this entire year to, you know, as I'm on the road, work on new things, get inspiration, like watch other bands, absorb, you know, so like a process of creation, absorbing, and then see where we're at. But I'm talkative, I write a lot, so I'm sure it'll be fine.
I love it. Your most recent album that did just come out 3 months ago, tell me, like, what the writing process was like for you. What were you going through, I guess, in your life, just personally, emotionally?
Well, you know, for this album, I feel like there are kind of two main things going on. One was just sort of on the relationship side, going through a heartbreak. But in a bigger way, a lot of it, just thematically, even as I look back, is about... It's just sort of about, like, figuring out how I want to live. Like, how, you know, I have this... I've experienced the world to some extent in the time I've been alive. And I have an idea about how I want to exist in the world and how I ought to exist in the world. And then I see people with other ideas of how they want to and should exist. And it's like, I think for me it's a real reckoning process, because it's interesting whenever you actually get to talk to somebody, no matter what they do, there's a lot of uncertainty when they speak about it. I mean, that's a very common feeling. And I think we have this misconception that other people feel sure of what they're doing. And I get that a lot of times. People, I think when you do something that's a little bit of a weirder job, people assume you're just 100% sure. It's like, I don't really know. I've sort of somersaulted my way here. And like, now, I'm doing this for my job, and I do love it and enjoy it, but I also wonder if I've made the right choices in life. So I think that that considering that was a big part of the record too.
And my last question is with being with that like uncertainty, just, you know, being an artist and just, you know, things kind of being like in a transient state, is it ever scary, or do you use that as fuel to keep you going?
It is scary. I think life's scary, and I feel lucky that my life isn't that scary. You know what I mean? Like, life can be really scary. And yeah, I certainly use it as fuel. And I think the other part is to remember that, like, I mean, I hope I'm going to live to be like 90 something. So I I have a lot of life left to, like, there's still a lot to do, a lot of time to do things, you know. I feel like sometimes you can feel a bit trapped by life and decisions, but you're only trapped if you decide to be, and you decide that you can't change. Like, you can move to a different city when you're 75 and, like, do whatever you want there. So I feel like putting a little bit less pressure on certain decisions as utterly binding is good.
I love it. Where can our listening audience find out more about you?
Everywhere on the internet. Yeah. Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, website, just Google. General Google search will do.
I love it. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Louder Than Life is back with Ozzy Osbourne. And a rare appearance from Prophets of Rage, Louder Than Life. Saturday, September 30th and Sunday, October 1st. Go to louderthanlifefestival.com for everything.